Are you tired of the 9-to-5 lifestyle? Do you want more freedom to do what you want, when you want it, without sacrificing your current income? Then this is the show for you. Every week, we dive into John's journey towards financial freedom and everything he has learned since 2014. Real estate investing, cryptocurrency, stocks, private lending, foreign residency, tax saving strategies, infinite banking, assets protection, and much more. Now, here is your host, the founder of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus, John Rickgarn.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or evening, or whenever you're listening to this. This is the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast, and I have the privilege of the very first guest on this podcast, Rachel Jensen with ECI Development. Rachel is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing with ECI. It helps investors and homeowners look for basically property overseas. Maybe they're from the United States or Canada, and they just want to get a little location in a tropical paradise that they would like to call their own. I had the privilege of meeting with Rachel back in June when I was in Belize for a few days, visiting for a few days before the summit at SAN put on by the Real Estate Guys. Great summit. Hope you catch it. Russell and Robert, if you're listening to this and you get some referrals, let me know. With that, I will pass this on to Rachel. Rachel, how are you doing?
Awesome. Well, thank you, John. It's so nice to be here. I'm so honored to be your first guest. I know we're going to have a really great conversation ahead. Of course, if it was based on anything that we chatted about when you were here in June, then sure, your listeners will have a ton of great information to learn about. I know that you yourself, you're always looking to learn and really discover the best new ways and tactics and methods to diversify and, of course, get cash flow at the end of the day. So they've come to the right place, that's for sure.
Perfect. So maybe you can give us a little background, Rachel, and maybe, you know, kind of how you fell into ECI. I'm guessing you just didn't wake up one morning like, oh gosh, I'm bored. What the hell? I'll move to Belize and start selling real estate. So
no, you know, it was actually pretty serendipitous. When I was younger, I used to go to a lot of the open houses with my mom. Even if our family was not in the market for real estate, we used to go look at houses. My grandfather was a real estate investor. He used to always tell us the same story about borrowing other people's money and never putting his own money in. And he ended up with a really great portfolio of properties, for really being a very modest man. And he did really well for himself in the long run. But, I never actually thought I would go into real estate myself. When I was in college, I was on the pre-med track. I was studying Spanish. I thought ultimately that I would be a dermatologist. So never really saw that real estate side of things. And then I went down to Nicaragua in 2010 when I was in college at that point. It was a medical mission trip. And actually, I loved the experience. I loved the people. I loved speaking another language, experiencing another culture. I ended up going back to college for the next semester and really questioning if I was on the right track for myself. And I continued with that pre-med route. But at the end of college, near graduation, when I really had no idea what I wanted to do, I had a great career advisor who recommended that I go to Nicaragua. She was actually with us on that medical mission trip that we went on a couple years prior. And so she said, I know you really enjoyed your time there. You speak Spanish. Why don't you apply for this internship? So I did that. It was a 3-month period. I ended up staying with the company. I've been with them for close to a decade at this point, but I stayed with them. But simultaneously, while I was getting towards graduation, I applied for the Peace Corps. So I applied and I got posted to teach English in Panama. That would have been the January following graduation. So I was, always thinking internationally. I don't come from an international family per se or family trips. I'm from New York originally. Our family trips were down to Florida.
Okay.
Winter in the winter, like spring break, or maybe Tulum or Cancun way back when, but we weren't necessarily a really adventurous family. But I just always fell into the real estate or the international side of it. And then real estate coupled that with real estate. And it really was just a dream job that I really never even considered when I was in college. You know, you don't go through any classes in university and they tell you to consider international real estate or international investments. Maybe it's foreign affairs, but there's never really that specific category in college where they help you realize where you want to be and what you want to do. So it was pretty neat to accidentally fall into this. I really thought it would be a 3-month internship. And I remember in the internship interview, And Mike Cobb, one of the co-founders, and the other co-founder, Joel Nagle, were both there. And they were like, all right, well, what do you like doing? And you know when you spend 4 years of college and you're supposed to know what you like? And I was like,
yep.
To be honest with you, like, I don't know. And they're like, right, you're supposed to. And for some lucky people, like, what they studied in school is actually what they're doing now. But I think for a majority of people, we kind of figure it out as we grow older. But I said, I don't really know. And they said, that's perfect, because we have no idea what you're going to do with the internship. But just come on down to Nicaragua.
Wow.
And that's how it started. And then I was going all back right. and forth between Nicaragua, Belize, some of the other projects that ECI, the development company, has. Ultimately, I really fell in love with Belize. It's just English speaking. It's easy mm-hmm. to get around. People are so nice. I feel very safe here. Belize is where I'm calling from today. And cool. obviously, John, where I ran into you when we were down here for the summit at Sand conference. But it's been a really neat experience. And I think that having this international space is so big. The international space is so big because we just think about how big the world is, and the globe mm-hmm. is huge, and there are tons of opportunities. But being able to nail it down and get a little bit more specific when you know you like real estate as an investment. All right, let's look at the diversification options and seeing where else besides, you know, maybe the market you're totally comfortable in makes sense for you to invest, because we know diversification is key. So sure. it's been fun. It's really been an exciting journey, that's for sure.
Cool. Awesome. And maybe you can just give a little background on ECI. How long has ECI been around? And one question I had is, what does ECI stand for? I followed the company for a while and I haven't, or does it stand for anything? Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
You know, that would be a fun story if I told you it didn't stand for anything. Actually, the story is kind of fun. So it stands for Exotic Key, CAYE International.
Oh, okay.
And the reason that's the acronym is because when the co-founders picked up one of the first properties that came into the ECI portfolio, it was called Exotic Key Beach Resort. Exotic Key Beach Resort. And so they made the IBC, the parent company, Exotic Key International. So ECI is essentially what, you know, the acronym is. And we go by ECI Development because nobody would really know what Exotic Key International meant. And also, we're not just here in Belize. That wasn't just the only property that we have in the portfolio. It's grown substantially since. But the company's been around for about 25 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
25 years in the region. And, you know, each year, it's really awesome, too, because it's the same co-founders who started the company are involved today. And it's really neat to see how their vision has evolved. Initially, when they started the company, was to build affordable, high quality product, primarily for North Americans at that point, but it's become okay. so much larger since. But for North Americans who are coming down to this part of the world, who wanted to own here and live, whether it was to relocate permanently or retire here or go back and forth, because there wasn't necessarily a standard building method. There's not really building code here. They say there is, but it's not really enforced. And so, you know, like when you're an American and you've been down, John, like you, when it's hot and it's hot 99% of the year, you want air conditioning.
Right.
And even if it is hot though, you still want a hot shower when you wake up in the morning. And those sort of things aren't necessarily standard in the building construction methodology mm-hmm. here. So being able to be a developer with that North American eye, coming down here, offering a high quality product for our investors was really the vision of how ECI started. And every day we're continuing to evolve and grow and look for opportunities. We know not everybody is looking to be in the same location. While I live in the Caribbean, actually, I'm not really a beach person. I'm more of a mountain person, but
okay.
I live on an island in the Caribbean. How funny how that works. But, you know, we understand not everybody wants the same thing. Not everybody wants the Caribbean. Not everybody wants the Pacific. Not everybody wants, you know, the tropical highlands or vineyard. And so by being able to offer a variety of geographies, people are able to find a place that really best fits them or suits what it is they're looking to accomplish. And for me personally, that's why I've stayed with the organization. I just really believe in their business model. I believe in being able to offer geographic choice to consumers and letting the consumer decide where they want to be, instead of us saying we have one location and it's perfect for you. John, yep. Belize is so perfect.
One size
for
fits
you.
All, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's been really, I think, remarkable to be a part of a company. And I just got back last week from El Salvador.
Oh, wow.
Honestly, El Salvador was never, ever on my radar. It was always a pass-through airport. You know, San Salvador, people are like, don't leave the airport. It's so dangerous.
Right.
But because the country started accepting Bitcoin as legal tender there on September 7th, we have a big crypto Bitcoin following within our network. And so okay. we decided to go down to El Salvador and check it out and see what it was like. So we were there for the September 7th launch of Bitcoin as legal tender. And we also have been secretly in the works of finding property there in El Salvador. And we have identified the perfect spot, actually overlooking Bitcoin Beach, which is the name of the area called Beach. El Zante. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's just one project we're working on. We're not only a crypto company, obviously, but we have a lot of crypto folks that are involved and owners. And so it's pretty neat to see this financial revolution that's happening, too, just across the globe generally.
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting. I think I heard, I don't know if it's official yet or if it's coming down the pipeline, but it sounds like Ukraine's going to be the next one that accepts Bitcoin as, you know, legal tender, just like El Salvador. So it'll be very interesting to see how, you know, where this leads us and who else adopts it. So
it's true. And I know that there are definitely some kinks that need to be worked out. You know, not everyone is used to smartphones and internet and all that. So that part, I think, has a long way to go in some of these countries until it is adopted by 100% of the people. But it was neat to see that a country is forward thinking enough. And the current president in El Salvador, Bukele, he's just done an incredible job at really cleaning up the country, cleaning up the image. I mean, just also in terms of gang violence, those numbers have been reduced significantly. It's no longer in the list of the 50 most dangerous countries in the world. It used to be in the top five. Used to be in the top five, right? But it's become an incredible place now, and it just means there's incredible potential. And I get it, like, not El Salvador may not be right for everybody. You may hear people, there may be people on other side of the line who are rolling their eyes like, El Salvador, give me a break. But you know what?
No good chance, news is we have
Belize or, you know, Panama or a country that either feels more comfortable or more stable to you.
Cool. All right. Now, in regards to the properties that you and ECI offer, I know we've talked a little bit about them in the past. I myself have stayed at the Grand Bayman in Belize, but kind of from low to high, what could, you know, a potential investor or even maybe an expat that wants to relocate kind of from, you know, very entry level all the way to, you know, if there is such a thing as a McMansion on Belize, or what would be the top end on that spectrum?
Sure. Yeah, sure. So here at Grand Bayman, we have entry pricing condos for about $99,000. And then here at Grand, it's still within Grand Bayman realm, it goes up to about $350,000. And that's for a four bedroom. The lower end, the $99,000, that's for a studio. And we've recently partnered up with Best Western. So Best Western will be branding the property. And it's nice from the rental perspective, because then people can put it into the Best Western rental program. Then if you want to live here, right, if you want to spend time, if you want to come and go, you do not need to put it into the Best Western rental program. And, you know, I personally own in the Explorer building. It was the fourth building that was up and running. And I ended up moving out in May.
Because,
I did, and found another place to live because I just saw such incredible rental opportunity with the condo community, with it coming under the Best Western name. And, you know, people, like, some people have their preferred brands. Maybe Best Western is one, you say it, maybe it's not. But what I know and what our company realizes is that there is a variety of tourists. There are people who are coming for that affordable vacation and don't need to spend $300 a night. And then there are the people who are coming who want that luxury beachfront five-star amenity place. And Grand Bayman, the Best Western here, it's a really unique opportunity to serve that middle-class market, the people who are coming who want to spend $100, $125 a night, be close to town, you know, have the amenities there that they need. I don't remember, John, I don't think that the pool was totally done when you were here a couple months ago.
I was able to go in it, but yeah, they're still finishing up hard. And I think they're working on the swim up bar, if I remember correctly. So
So that's just about done. They're putting the bodega in for the bar. And so it's been neat to see all the progress there, but there are amenities already here on site. And so there's a really good market here, I think, for people to come here on vacation, want to put their money in the water, want to dive, snorkel, fish, whatever it is. Maybe they are affiliated with Best Western. Maybe they're part of the loyalty program. And so they're able to capitalize on a Best Western being here. And by being an owner at a Best Western condo, you get titled to it. It's yours, but you put into the Best Western rental program. And then they just rent out the condo for you on a rotating basis. And then you earn the revenue that comes in from your condo. So it's a pretty efficient model. And, you know, I've obviously done a lot of work behind the scenes at looking at the brand, analyzing the brand. And personally, it makes sense to put my condo into the rental program. So that's what it's up to these days.
All right. Actually, two questions came up just thinking about that. With the Best Western program, say someone is a Best Western member and they have, you know, whatever, a free night or X number of points. Mm-hmm. Are they able to use those, you know, through and, you know, get a free night or dollars off on the property? Or does it work just like any other Best Western hotel, like say in States?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they certainly can. So for the rental perspective, if you have that those loyalty points, if you are a part of their program, you are able to apply those points to your stay in a Best Western condo. And the neat part is that the owner of the condo, because they are all individually owned and titled, still receives dollars back.
Okay.
Because what they typically do is they'll set aside some funds that are coming in as like an escrow. They hold those in escrow and then they're able to convert the points to cash for the owner so that the owner is still getting paid in cash. Because, you know, otherwise it's not as advantageous too for an owner. If you know, well, there are all these people who are using points. I don't want it.
Right.
But they are owners are compensated.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. And as far as the compensation, I'm guessing like there's either a flat fee or is it just a percentage of the income that goes to Best Western? Or how does that work for an investor?
We'll be right back.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yep, it's a percentage. And so we have whole performas that break down the numbers and the estimated costs and utilities and all of that. But it's essentially at the end of the day, it's a 70-30 split of the adjusted gross. 70% goes to the owner, 30% goes to the management team.
Okay, cool. And then as far as the, I know you said like the high-end entry points, would that 350 kind of be across the gamut, whether, you know, say someone was looking in Panama or Belize or Nicaragua or any of the other places that ECI is in?
Yeah, so that one would definitely be a little bit more specific to here at Grand Bayman. That is really for the four bedroom, four bath model.
Okay.
But we do have the high end as well. So we have the Marriott. Marriott is a 4.5-star luxury property on the beach, a Caribbean front, looking right out at the Caribbean waters. A pre-construction right now. So there are the pre-construction opportunities. And those started about 350. And then if you want that three bedroom, like a fifth floor penthouse, then it's about 1.1 million.
Oh, is that all? Okay.
yeah. You know, that's all for a casual over $1 million, but you can see there's a good variety. And then with our other properties too, we're in Panama, Nicaragua, El Salvador. There's a variety of products. We have tiny homes in Nicaragua, for example, that started about 92,000. And then we have tiny homes in Panama that go up to about 150,000. That's about the range, 92 to 150,000.
Okay.
But in between, there are condominiums, luxury condos, home sites for custom builds, casitas, which are more of a 2-3 bedroom model. And each country is a little bit different in what it offers. Here in Belize, we have condominiums and some tiny homes. In Nicaragua, it goes all across the board from the condos, tiny homes, home sites, etc. Same with Panama, it's all across the board. El Salvador, all across the board. So there's a good mix of what's available. And it really just depends on what someone's looking for. And, you know, my best piece of advice for people who are looking at property overseas is really understand what your end goal is. Are you primarily looking at this property from an investment perspective? If you're looking at it from the investment perspective, then the numbers need to make sense. It doesn't matter if you personally like the place.
Sure.
But, I mean, I've had people come down to Ambergris Key before and they're like, well, and you know, they tell me they're looking at this from an investment perspective. They come down, they're like, well, we don't like it. And I'm like, but does that matter? Like,
right.
You know, I understand you want to like it because you want a vacation here, but Ambergris Key is the island that produces 70% of the tourism revenue for the entire country. So from an investment perspective, this is the place to be.
Right.
Belize keeps going up and up and up in popularity. This is the place to be for an investment. So if you don't like it, then it sounds like it's more of a personal decision, a lifestyle decision, a place that you perhaps want to spend time.
Sure.
You know, I have some rental properties in the States in cities that I've honestly just driven through. I have no intention of ever living there.
Right.
Maybe just drive by again to see it and to make sure the house is still there operating. Yep. It hasn't burned to the ground and I wasn't informed. You know, but I think sometimes because it is a tropical destination, people very often combine this concept of lifestyle, like I need to like it and I want it from an investment perspective. And it's very hard to find a property that's going to produce the sort of numbers that you like if you treat it as a lifestyle property. Okay. And especially we get people who are coming down and they're like, all right, well, we want a property that's going to provide cash flow for us. We also want to be here for a few months out of the year. I'm like, great. Well, what months do you want to be here? December, January, yep. February, right? Of course, I get it. It's cold up in the north during that time of the year. You want to be somewhere tropical and warm and the beautiful beaches behind you. But the reality is also that's when it's peak season here in the country. And it's very seasonal. Rentals in this part of the world are very seasonal. So you're going to get a majority of your rentals in from middle of November through about May. And then you have a couple of times during the slow season where it spikes up due to events like Lobster Fest or Easter is during high season. What else is there? Costa Maya Festival here in Belize. Okay. There's just a bunch of reasons why it would spike up during low season, but a bulk of your income comes during those months. So that's that's the one key takeaway I'm going to give. It's identify folks whether or not you want that rental property or if you want that lifestyle. And if it is going to be a place where you're going to be spending more time, are you okay with the rental numbers being lower because you're occupying it more?
Or maybe you're a weirdo and absolutely love going to Belize in July or something and it's going to impact the numbers. Who knows?
Right. And, you know, I do have to say, though, June, July, August, it truly is a nice time of year. Right now, we're September when we're recording this. I know some people listen at different times. September, October, it's hotter than normal. We've actually had a pretty mild rainy season. So I'm going to guess we're going to get it in October instead, but you know, it's normal. This is the time of year for rain. September, October is typically when we get rain.
Okay, cool. And now with the, and I can speak a little bit with Belize. I know you mentioned it's English speaking. I was there for about 2 weeks, you know, really nice area, nice, obviously nice people, a nice culture. And you've kind of relayed a number of times, Belize is kind of more like a developing market. Like you said, you know, there's more interest in it and more people coming for tourism or moving down there. As far as the other prime markets that ECI is in, you know, how do those play in? Are, you know, Nicaragua kind of more of an up and coming, or Panama more of, you know, an established market, or how do those, you know, Costa Rica, Panama, and Nicaragua play into the mix?
Sure. So I'm going to send you, John, the real estate investment curve, and you can have your folks request that from you.
Okay.
And just let people know to message you about it. But
Perfect.
We have this real estate investment curve, and it's essentially a bell curve. And we call it the investment property chart or investment, the real estate investment curve. And so countries that are at the top part of the bell curve, like Costa Rica, Panama, they're countries that tend to be more developed. Costa Rica is usually at the top because it's been in the marketplace for the last 25, 30 years, very popular for tourists. When you talk to people and you say, have you been to Central America? 2/3 of people, you should say, oh yeah, I've been to Costa Rica, or I know somebody who's been to Costa Rica. So countries that are at the top part of this bell curve are countries that you're able to get in, you have higher cash flow, but it's also more expensive.
Okay.
And so depending on what your goal is, are you as an investor looking for appreciation? Do you want a market that has a big opportunity for appreciation? Or do you want something that's more established, but has a great opportunity for rental income? And then as you go down to the bottom part of the bell curve, you have countries that are not as developed in terms of tourism. They're not as popular. They're not places people are necessarily going on their honeymoon, but there's incredible opportunities for appreciation. So, you know, Mexico right now is like top of the top part of the curve. But if we evaluated it 25 years ago, you know, Cancun specifically would be at the bottom part of the curve. It wasn't as popular. You know, people were going to Acapulco at that time. But
yep.
You know, 25, 30 years ago, Cancun would be at the bottom part. Now it's at the top. It's increase in appreciation. Prices there tend to be a little bit more expensive. It's also pretty saturated, but you do tend to find it is more a mature market. And so when you look at the real estate investment curve, you have Panama at the top as a country. It really is quite developed. It's a second world country. I know people don't really use those terms anymore.
Sure.
It's not quite a developing country, but it's not developed. It's in the middle. A big reason that it is so popular and stable is because they have the Panama Canal there. It's under Panama's control now. So anytime a boat goes through the Panama Canal, it's money coming into the ATM machine for Panama. So that means they have money to put into improvements in infrastructure and just general development of the country. And so it tends to be a more popular option for people who are looking at a country that's stable. I mean, I think all the countries are stable in their own ways, but in Panama, it's stable when it comes to having the boats come through the Panama Canal and having constant money for development. Then as you go down to towards the bottom part of the curve, you have Belize there that's in the middle. It's not yet as popular as Costa Rica. It's getting there. It's certainly getting there. I remember when I was going through the airport earlier this year, I went through Miami at one point and I went through Houston, and they had huge signs for Belize, huge like billboards as you're walking. It said all about Belize, come visit. And so I think as that mainstream tourism perspective starts to focus on Belize, then we'll start to see the numbers increase. It has increased tremendously over the last 10, 12 years, but it's going to grow even more than that. And I've been coming down since 2012. And even since I've been coming down for the last 10 years, I mean, obviously I live here now, so I see it more on a regular basis. It's growing. More people are hearing about it. And I can tell when a place is becoming more popular because that's when my parents start to ask if they can come visit. You know, like when I moved to Nicaragua, there was no interest in them visiting Nicaragua. Like they thought it was the most dangerous place in the world. They thought that it was going to be, my mom actually really ended up loving the country. But I can tell you that's how I base if it's a popular country or not. Oh, my parents are like, oh, Belize, I've heard about it. Maybe we should come down and visit you sometime soon.
All right.
They're like the mainstream tourists that I would see that I'm seeing coming down now. Then as you get to the bottom part of the curve, that's where you have Nicaragua. You know, Nicaragua, and even below that, I would say is El Salvador. But Nicaragua is a country I think that's really misunderstood. I spent about a year and a half there when I was first starting out with ECI. And it's a country that I really do enjoy. I think it's personally better than Costa Rica. You get a lot more value in Nicaragua, a very similar geography to Costa Rica, but you just don't have those high price points yet because it's not as established as Costa Rica. And so I think it has incredible opportunities for appreciation. But like all of these, in all of these countries, you can thin slice areas even more. So like there are parts of Panama that are the top part of the real estate investment curve. There are parts of Panama that are the bottom part of the real estate investment curve, just depending on that location's popularity in the tourism market. But Costa Rica by far, I realize I didn't mention Costa Rica. Costa Rica is at the top. Costa Rica is the most popular tourism destination, then Panama. Then you have Belize there, that sweet spot. And then you have Nicaragua at the bottom. But, you know, thin slice it all. And specifically in Nicaragua, you can thin slice it. We have a property there called Grand Pacific. It's been about 15, 16 years since we've been developing it.
Oh, wow.
And it's been developing for a while. It's a large property, 2,500 acres, but it's been around and established in the marketplace for a while. So, you know, when you own there and you have a tiny home there or a condo, you can expect it to rent better there than it would if you're buying a property in an area that's not yet developed. So there's a lot to factor into it, but just depends on what somebody wants. Like Belize is great for Caribbean waters. You have the diving, you have snorkeling, you have fishing. That crystal clear blue Caribbean waters is what you get here. As you go to Nicaragua, there are the Pacific, Nicaragua and El Salvador both. They have the Pacific beaches, incredible surf waves for people who like surfing. They're both incredible opportunities for appreciation. They haven't plateaued like Costa Rica has. As you get down to a country like Panama, for example, where we're at is specifically in a location called the Tropical Highlands. So it's a cooler climate, more mountain. You don't have the beach right there in front of you, but you can get there in an hour, but they're just very different geographies.
Okay, cool. Now, with Rachel, with these properties, I'm actually right now in the process of getting financing for a duplex here in the States. Now, I'm guessing if I go to Jeremy, I'm not sure if he's going to listen to this or not, but I go to him and say, hey, Jeremy, I'm looking at this property in Belize. I'd like to get a 30-year FHA loan or, you know, Fannie Mae loan at 4% interest locked in. I'm guessing he's probably going to laugh me out of the office. So if someone, you know, maybe didn't have, you know, whether it's 99,000 or 1.1 million, just, you know, sitting in a bank account, are there other options for purchasing or financing options that ECI has available?
We'll be right back. Insights into Teens, a podcast series exploring the issues and challenges of today's youth. Talking to real teens about real teen problems. Explore issues from braces to puberty, social anxiety to financial responsibility. Each week, we talk about the topics concerning today's youth. We look at how the issues affect teens, how to cope with these issues, and how parents, friends, and loved ones can help teens handle these challenges. Check out our video episodes on youtube.com/insightsintothings. Catch our audio versions on podcast.insightsintoteens.com or on the web at insightsintothings.com.
Yes, so we do work with a bank here in Belize, and they offer up to 80% financing. We were able to get some really great rates with them, but they offer up to 80% financing. Okay. Depends on how much you're financing. If you're doing 50% financing with them, then you have an interest rate of 4.9%. It's okay. A 30-year amortization, but a 5-year balloon.
Okay.
And then if you're financing 80%, it's 6.9% interest to 30-year amortization with a 5-year balloon. But what I want to mention, financing in this part of the world as a foreigner is very difficult to find. Okay. You know, I think a lot of times we have gotten really spoiled in the States with how, you know, it just seems to be so easy to get a loan and you're able to get really great rates and it's a 30-year am. And mm-hmm. I mean, there's just all these really nice benefits to it. But here, I mean, you're going to find things like a balloon payment at the end of the 5th year on a 30-year am schedule. So you have to pay that balance, 25 years balance at the end of the 5th year, or you have to refinance with a bank. And you know, typically rates are higher. 10.9 to 13.9% interest is standard. You know, luckily, we're able to get a good rate. We buy down the rate to get to 4.9 and 6.9 for our clients. But it's expensive. You know, sure. It's expensive to leverage. And, you know, the process isn't necessarily as quick or smooth as it is in the States. I know if you're financing a property that's outside of Belize with this bank, you have to open up a Belize IBC, Belize International Business Company, that will hold title to the property. And the reason you have to do that is because Belize is a bank that has a jurisdiction here in Belize, obviously. So they have to comply to central bank rules. And if it's not a Belizean asset, then they don't have any jurisdiction over it. So in order for it to be a Belizean asset, it has to go, the property has to be in a Belize IBC if it's not in Belize physically. So there are just some extra steps. It gets a little complicated. You know, I know a lot of people are not necessarily versed in international real estate and what IBCs are, international business companies and local companies. It's, it's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But our team can certainly help you with it. But I do have a couple of suggestions, because we have had clients who didn't want to go the financing route with us. And so they were able to find that their home bank was able to give them a line of credit.
Okay.
So that's something to consider. Or if you have a property that you can refinance or get a second mortgage on, or a mortgage on, you can always take the money from that and then apply it to your property here in Belize or another country to use. And then you're paying less interest on that money than you would be if you're using money down here.
Okay. So yeah, basically get a financing in the state per se, but then just deploy those dollars in, whether it's Belize or Nicaragua or wherever you're looking at. So
cool. Yeah, exactly. Okay. But if you go into, like you said, Don, if you go into your bank and you tell the person, you tell your banker, all right, like, here's my sales contract with a property in Belize. Like, I just want the money for it. They're gonna be like, no. So line of credit or the second mortgage is definitely the way to go. And then we've had some owners who've gotten really creative. We accept cryptocurrency, gold, silver.
Oh, wow.
So we've had owners, who paid with gold coins. You know, they send us an assessment of it. And then some of them have sent them through DHL to us. Others have wanted to physically meet up with us, understandably so, to hand over the coins. But we do have a good mix. We have people who pay with Bitcoin, Ethereum, Monero, the cryptocurrencies.
Oh,
and then people
do
a combo. Yeah, a combo of it. You know, some pay with, put a little bit of money down through the crypto, a little bit down with gold, do some cash, finance the other 50%. So there are definitely ways to get creative. And of course, self-directed IRAs do work here.
Okay.
But obviously they can't be self-serving. You cannot visit them because it's for investment only.
Perfect. Interesting. Actually, with that, it's kind of sounds like it's a little bit more flexible than in the States. I'm actually a realtor, and to my knowledge, I don't know of any banks that accept down payments as in gold or silver or Bitcoin or anything. It's pretty much just US dollars and that's it.
Mm-hmm. You know, we understand that. I mean, the financial world is ever changing these days and growing at such an interesting pace. And I never, 10 years ago, I obviously had no idea about cryptocurrency. I'm kicking myself that I wasn't trying to pay attention to this stuff more at that point. But I have this in it as an organization. I'm just really proud that we do offer those sort of options because people believe in different currencies. And, you know, who are we to say, no, you can only pay in US dollars because that's the only thing that we believe in. So by giving people the flexibility to own real estate, own a hard asset through, you know, that gold or silver or crypto or cash or finance or, you know, whatever makes the most sense for them, I think is pretty neat and pretty unique.
Okay, cool. So, all right. I think that gives my listeners quite a bit of information to digest. I hope they find this valuable. Are there any other additional projects that you and ECI are working on here end of 2021 and 2022 and beyond?
Yes, sir. So this is what I love talking about. I get so excited about our future projects upcoming because there's always something new. And that's what I love. I love learning and always doing something new. So obviously we have the El Salvador project that we did a very soft intro to our listeners about. We're going to be doing a product launch in the next month, I'd say month to 2 months, about the different products that will be available. In addition to that, we picked up some property over by in Honduras by La Ceiba, which is right across the bay from Roatan and Utila. So we're excited about that. And then in addition, we, over the next 2 years, I would say, you know, this is not necessarily immediately next year, but over the next 2 years, we will be looking at acquiring property in Argentina in a vineyard sort of setting.
Then
also, yeah, Ecuador for more of that tropical highlands. You know, what it really comes down to at the end of the day is understanding not everybody wants the same thing. Not everyone wants the same geography. So we continue to find it. It's funny. I was talking with one of my coworkers, Betsy. You know Betsy.
Yep, I know Betsy. Earlier. Hi, Betsy.
And so we were saying, and Betsy's like, you know, I think that if they can't find something with us, then it probably doesn't exist. Like, because we have so many geographies. I said the one geography we're missing is the mountain, like the ski mountains.
Oh,
we don't have snow. We're not in the snow areas. We're in more of the tropics, Argentina, where we're looking there, and Mendoza. It's more of like a Colorado climate. So it would snow there.
Okay.
But other than that, right now we're just in those tropical locations. I know I have the green screen here. This is from Belize, but we do have the palm trees and the beautiful waters.
Yeah, if people want snow, they can just come visit me in Minnesota, you know, 9 months out of the year. They'll see plenty of it. All right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, thank you very much, Rachel. I very much appreciate your time and giving the valuable advice to my listeners. Are there ways that they can reach out to you and ECI if they have any additional questions or if they want to pursue international real estate investment?
Of course. Yep. I would say the best thing that you can do is email us info@ecidevelopment.com. Just let us know that you came from Wealth and Freedom Nexus. And you know, with John, either or, tell us John Rickarn or Wealth and Freedom Nexus, because I want to make sure that we can send you that chart that I mentioned, that real estate investment curve. And you know, we also have special discounts for our partners at times too. So
perfect.
Just reach out to us to let us know how you heard about us, and we'll make sure you're getting on the special rate.
Sounds good. And I'll make sure to put that in the show notes so everyone can reach out to you as well. So
perfect. All right.
Well, thanks again, Rachel. I hope you have a great rest of the day in Belize and hope to talk again soon.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.